I was just sitting here, man. I made a beat just sitting here in 3 minutes. I wonder if you can hear this. Can you hear it?
Not right now, but I can hear it first.
I can program that thing with samples.
You're a beat making fool.
Dude, I'm telling you, I told a rapper last night that I bought a drum machine, and he was like, man, we got a collab.
We got to link up, bro.
Dude, I'm fucking about to enter the game. I'm about to be a fucking...
You're going to get in the lab, man.
It's like a late career. That beat that I just played was dog shit, but I can do better. I just got it. No, like, I just got it. I can improve. There's room for improvement.
I couldn't hear it. I couldn't.
You couldn't hear it? Fuck.
Stick it up to it. Stick your microphone up to it real quick.
You can't, dude, it's plugged into the... Why does that not go to you? Man, the thing is like, I don't understand gear at all. Like, that's my biggest obstacle to becoming,
next Metro Boomin.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my big obstacle. It's like, I don't understand. It's like, you know, forgive the comparison, but it's just like a kind of thing in culture where people are like, if you're really into something and know the ins and outs, like, you're autistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like the opposite. Does that mean I have like, do I have ADHD or something? I can't fucking figure out.
You don't know the finer details of things, but you know how to do it. That's usually how it works though.
Not but, even the finer details. Like, I'm not even interested. As soon as anybody starts telling me about like
gear, you're like, cool.
Yeah. Ins and out, MIDI, triggers.
Well, that's because you can hoop, though. Hey, let me tell you, in my experience playing basketball, the guy that shows up the newest Jordan's usually not worth a fuck.
Mm.
And this is, I mean, I'm in it for the fashion anyway, but still.
Right.
You know. So that's good.
So you're saying it's a good sign that...
It's a good sign that you don't care about
I look like shit, but I can actually...
Okay, who do you think's... If they gave... you know, some Joe Blow off the street, every synthesizer, every DAW, every machine, every whatever, and they gave Prince Fruity Loops. Who do you think is gonna make the best shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, Prince with a bootleg copy of Fruity Loops would be so tight. I bet it would be so good when he come up with.
What if it sucked though? You know what I mean?
Could it suck? I don't know that Prince can suck.
Uh-huh.
He needs a case made for him by Nathan J. Robinson, though. I think about that at least 3 times a day.
Had to make the case.
Nathan J. Robinson's the case for Prince. There's a couple of people in history that don't really need a case made for him, and he is one of them.
Especially by Nathan J. Robinson.
Yeah. A man with his finger on the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Going on?
I was just reading the Wikipedia page for the heart symbol.
Mm-hmm.
You know the origins of the heart symbol?
You know, I don't. And now that you say it, kind of weird that I don't. And two, my interest is peaked.
Dude, I'm such a fucking dumbass. Like, I was like, this is the levels of how stupid I am. It is truly like layers. Like, at first, I was like, whoa. And I, mind you, I've not been smoking weed. So I, you know, this truly, you know, that's one of the depressing things about becoming sober. It's like, oh, this will make me smarter again. Oh, it'll improve my life. And then you realize, like, no, I'm just inherently a fucking dumbass.
That's not true, though.
Like, I was like, I was thinking about the heart symbol. I was like, whoa, man, like, that's crazy that they knew that the heart looked like that. I was like, but how would they know? How would they know that the heart looked like that? It's like, okay, A, the heart
does not look like that. So you were today years old when you realized the heart is not shaped like how we would draw it.
Yeah. And then B, like, of course people hundreds of years ago knew what hearts actually looked like. They probably had a, like, your average common person, like, 1,000 years ago probably saw more actual hearts in his life than any of us, you know, like war and stuff, you know what I mean? Like getting your fucking innards.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, it's like, you know, back in the day, it was probably, they probably didn't think much if you wanted to pilfer a dead body and check out the innards. You know what I mean? Like everybody was dying at like 36. It's like so many people around you were dead all the time. It's like, well, he's not going to miss this. Let's just take a look. You know.
Well, yeah, and they would also, like, have, you know, they would also have just the most insane accidents, like falling in your field while you're plowing, and it just rips you up from fucking navel to throat.
Oh, yeah.
All your shit.
Oh, shit. I never knew that looked that way. Oh, God.
Yeah, so like your average citizen, your average person back then probably saw way more hearts than we do now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, that's how stupid I am. I was like, whoa.
So how did they arrive at the heart in the you know, in the style of I Love New York or whatever?
Well, that's the thing. In ancient Babylon, that was like a common graffiti you saw, like I heart Babylon, you know.
Yeah, right.
I heart Sumeria.
I heart Sumeria. Yeah. Long live I heart King Nebuchadnezzar. Doing a fine job.
Uh-huh. According to the Wikipedia page, Peepal. That's a tree. People. It's a species of fig. Again, figs. We're back at figs.
No, hold on a second. Let me go ahead and connect this. I didn't realize. Friend of the show, Sarah Hughes, pointed out that there's a fig on the cover of the Pussy Eating book from the last episode.
Oh, is there?
A little callback, a little full circle. And then there was the guy that ate all the figs that proved Aristotle's maxim. Uh-huh. Everything in moderation, correct?
It's the eternal.
For the record, I was not suggesting this man was founded out on pussy. He's just eating pussy until he got diabetes. I was actually talking about real figs, but interesting choice for the cover.
Is the implication? That's funny because I don't even remember the cover. I guess the implication that eating pussy is like eating a fig.
I guess so.
Multiple people messaged me about that book. They were like, do not slander this book.
They want the sacred knowledge passed on to you?
They want the sacred knowledge passed on.
It's like, one day it's going to be incumbent upon you to pass it down to a young buck just getting started out in the world. Say, hey, this is going to save you a lot of heartache, pal. You know?
See, I mean, I you know, I don't think that you can apply universal to something like that. The whole thesis of that book was, you eat her out, and she comes.
And then the pressure's off you, pal.
And then the pressure's off you. But see,
go to town.
I'm more high stakes. So me, I'm a gambler. I like to play things high stakes.
You're going to bring her right to the point and then back off and see if you can do it yourself and earn it.
Yep. It's like speed. It's like that movie. Like, you can't go lower than 50 miles an hour or whatever, and this whole thing blows up.
Well, you know, it's funny. Pussy Eating had a moment a while back where it used to be verboten for a guy, like just take Junior Soprano, for example. It was at one point just considered sort of, you didn't do that, it was not masculine, whatever, to a certain subset of people. Then Pussy Eating got popular. I trace it to Lil Wayne, honestly.
Yeah.
When he released Pussy Monster, the floodgates opened, honestly.
Right.
And then guys wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. A whole
Right.
generation of men were convinced that, yes, this is like the secret, this is how it's done and everything. And then they just, threw everything else out the window.
Right.
If a guy just will not shut the fuck up about his pussy eating prowess, that's a red flag.
It is. It is a red flag.
He very well may be a great lover. I don't know. I can't speak to that, but he's not one of the fellas.
I wonder if
Just do
it,
it and shut the fuck up
just sh yeah,
about
just yeah, just be a Spartan about it. Just be
it.
austere and fucking or stoic or whatever.
Yeah,
Whatever.
just do it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it with your partner. Just don't shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah. Well, the fig, what I was going with that was like there is a subspecies of fig in the Indian subcontinent, the leaves of which look like a heart. In the 5th, 6th century BC, the heart shape was used to represent the heart-shaped fruit of the plant silphium. Silver coins from Cyrene bear a similar design. Since ancient times in Japan, the heart symbol has been called inome, meaning the eye of a wild boar. But its earliest use, like as a correlative, like as a, ideograph for the actual heart inside of us, was the Middle Ages. With possible early examples or direct predecessors in the 13th to 14th century, the familiar symbol of the heart representing love developed in the 15th century. It became popular in Europe during the 16th. Before the 14th century, the heart shape was not associated with the meaning of the heart metaphor. The geometric shape itself is found in much earlier sources, but in such instances does not depict a heart, but typically foliage. The first known depiction of a heart as a symbol of romantic love dates to the 1250s, the Halcyon days.
Yeah, man, when the music was still alive.
It occurs in a miniature decorating a capital S in a manuscript of the French Roman de la Poix. In the miniature,
The French have really been on the got in on the ground floor of that, didn't they?
they did, dude. Honestly, like they, the romance, they're romantics. And they, I guess this is why they have that stereotype.
French guys were eating pussy probably before anybody else were doing it, weren't they? In Europe, anyway. I mean, in the Indian subcontinent, they were owning that shit from the first. But in Europe, as I'd say, the French probably popularized it, I guess.
It is funny reading like the history of philosophy, how very little sex and romance plays into any of it. It's like it's all about like the heavenly bodies, the planets, the shapes, it's just like you could not find better evidence that what it really meant to be a philosopher was being incel, basically.
Yeah.
Like you were
Well, you were
something.
devoted to the life of the mind.
Right.
You couldn't be bogged down with love, sex, romance, any of that.
Pussy money weed.
Pussy
Couldn't
money way, yeah. Couldn't
be
be
bothered
bothered
with
with it.
it. Right.
Yeah.
In the miniature, a kneeling lover, or more precisely, an allegory of the lover's sweet gaze, offers his heart to a damsel. The heart here resembles a pine cone held upside down, the point facing upward, in accord with medieval anatomical descriptions.
Imagine just bringing a pack and say, "I love you, baby.
I love you.
You see this? Let's fall off a tree. I love you, baby.
Please, please.
This is what I feel inside."
However, in this miniature, what suggests a heart shape is only the result of a lover's finger superimposed on an object. The full shape outline of the object is partly hidden and therefore unknown. Moreover, the French title of the manuscript that features the miniature translates into Novel of the Pair in English. Thus, the heart-shaped object would be a pair. The conclusion that a pair represents a heart is dubious. Dude, I mean, it's funny because the heart is actually the ass. Like the heart shape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Like think of the peach emoji.
Yeah.
For that, peach kind of looks like a heart in a way.
So it's like, you know, we've had this discussion multiple times, but like going back millennia, the actual location of love and romance was the ass. It was not, you know what I'm saying? Like that was the,
yeah,
the shape they were
as God intended, to be honest.
Let's see. Various hypotheses attempted to connect the heart shape as it evolved in the late Middle Ages with instances of the geometric shape in antiquity. Such theories are modern, proposed from the 60s onward, and they remain speculative as no continuity between the supposed ancient predecessors and the late medieval tradition can be shown. Specific suggestions include the shape of the seed of the silphium plant used in ancient times as a herbal contraceptive. Interesting. And stylized depiction. Dude, ancient times, it's, you know, it's weird. Like when I was in high school, me and a couple of my buddies found my other friend's dad's horny goat weed.
Yeah.
We were like, what is this? And we all took it and sucked each other.
Yeah, we all took it and saw what all the fuss was about.
Later, yeah, and we grow up and they're like, it actually does not make you horny. It's a placebo.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I had several friends of mine when they've, you know, every once in a while, a man gets out of business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had several friends of mine take it and say that it's, they've chosen to believe science and go for Cialis or something else.
Uh huh.
Instead of, you know, they don't these folk remedies.
They don't fuck with the horny goat weed?
No. Not at all. Well, Cialis, while effective, is, Not really a fun name. Horny goat weed.
Much fun.
Really, yeah. Fun to say.
What is horny goat weed? It's barrenwort. It's a genus of flowering plants in the family Berberidaceae. The majority of the species are endemic to China. It is used as a dietary supplement. Clinical effects are unknown. It contains a number of flavonoids. Wow.
Does it actually work, though?
You know,
there's no proof that it does.
There's not a lot of proof that it works. But the thing about aphrodisiacs is it's all in the mind anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, getting out of business is all, it happens all up here.
Is that, yeah, it's exactly right.
Yeah.
All of here. You can have a flop era in just about any aspect of your life, but that's the one aspect where you can talk yourself into it and out of it.
And out of it, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I suffered a psychosexual repression some years back, and I like to never beat it. I did. It was like I just, in the moment, I get two in my head and I couldn't perform.
Mm-hmm.
I've since recovered.
Then you started picturing the heart symbol in your mind.
Right.
When it would start getting, you know, hot and steamy.
I came across some figs in the supermarket and started acting out.
In the aisle.
Yeah, right there in the aisle. I said, I'm back.
You pull out your book. She comes first and starts.
I just see me just have, half a fig right there in the aisle just going to town.
That book is a double manual. It's a manual for how to eat pussy and how to eat figs. So, like,
yeah.
You can take it to the supermarket and read it.
I'd say I do love a Fig Newton.
Oh yeah.
Ain't nothing like a Fig Newton.
They should put that on the cover of She Comes First. It's more realistic.
Yeah.
Everything is square anyways.
Yeah, that's right.
The ancients, Aristotle used to think that things moved in rectilinear motion. And
oh,
so
man.
They literally thought that if you shot an arrow or a projectile, at a certain point it would just go straight down.
A goddamn fucking Mickey Mouse Acme shit.
Dude, they could literally observe that and they still did not believe that it was true. It wasn't until Galileo proved that like things moved in like a parabola that people's minds were blown. They were like, oh
shit.
Shit.
What else was Aristotle lying about? You know. Did anybody ever consider Aristotle a conspiracy monger for that?
A disinfo expert?
A disinformation propagandist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe all things in moderation was bullshit, too.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Stylized depictions of specific suggestions include, this is the connection of the heart and the shape, the symbol itself. People prove that its connection to ancient times is found in the heart symbol itself and its resemblance to features of the human female body, such as the breasts, buttocks, pubic mound, or spread vulva.
Damn.
These are like scholars.
Maybe that's why I was asking that when I saw it there.
Could be.
I'm going to be honest with you, that fruit looks like a pubis.
Well, back then, like, pornography wasn't as readily available as it is now. So, like, you probably could get pretty worked up over a shape, you know?
That's true. Yeah, there was a time. Yeah, well, think about it. If we thought the sine qua non of, images that got us going was like a Sears catalog when we were kids, then it's not hard to imagine these motherfuckers in antiquity getting worked up over a raptozoid. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's honestly, that's great. I mean, you can just draw it in the sand.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my sweetie baby. Because that's how they talked back in medieval England. My baby girl.
It's the farms, see?
It's the farms. Been plowing this field for 13 years. Let's see. The Luther Rose. What's the Luther Rose? Interesting. Widely recognized symbol for Lutheranism was the seal that was designed for Martin Luther at the behest of Prince John Friedrich in 1530, while Luther was staying at the Coburg Fortress during the Diet of Augsburg.
He had to lay low in those times.
It's true.
There's too much heat in the streets during the Diet of Augsburg.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
When was the Diet of Worms? That was what I always thought that was interesting.
Uh-huh.
What is a diet, actually?
I think it was like a legislative assembly, or like an assembly that kind of like determined who a
what a church thing was.
Yeah. The Diet of Worms was 1521.
Oh, shit.
not long.
What were the controversies?
The controversies at the Diet of Worms?
Is there a controversies tab under the Diet of Worms tab?
It was an imperial diet of the Holy Roman Empire called by Charles V and conducted in the imperial free city of Worms. Martin Luther was summoned to the diet in order to renounce or reaffirm his views in response to a papal bull of Pope Leo X. In answer to questioning, he defended these views and refused to recant them. At the end of the diet, the emperor issued the Edict of Worms, a decree which condemned Luther as a notorious heretic and banned citizens of the empire from propagating his ideas.
Fuck. Wow. So he basically just pulled up and was like, okay, y'all brought me here to embarrass me and scandalize my ideas, huh? Okay. Who can play that game, motherfucker? The Diet of Augsburg is just around the corner. And I got hitters out here in these streets.
Uh-huh. And that's when he had his heart symbol drawn up. Like, he wasn't fucking around anymore. Like, once the Diet of Augsburg came around, he was like, nah.
I'm done playing with Roman motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to show them what's what.
He's Luther wrote an explanation of the symbol to Lazarus Spengler. He said, a black cross in a heart which retains its natural color so that I myself would be reminded that faith in the crucified saves us. For one who believes from the heart will be justified, Romans 10:10. The interesting part about this is that the aorta remains visible as a protrusion at the top centered between the two chambers indicated in the symbol. So I'm, you know, my man had seen a few hearts in his day. He probably was ripping them out. Ah, he was going through the Diet of Worms, just ripping hearts out. Ah, ah.
If he was good on them fig, he's probably breaking a couple too. They ever seen the lips on Martin Luther and on them goddamn artist renderings?
Breaking hearts, ripping them out. Blah, blah, oh, wow, rips that shit out.
Kano.
And then we fast forward to modern times. What? That, like, we're skipping 400 years. We just go straight to the fucking...
That's the thing about the ancient world, man. You know, like, history is very not atomized, but just sort of, you know, we got a lot to go on. In the old days, fast forward 800 years.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened. Bunch of motherfuckers walking around some fucking cornfields or something.
Yeah. Since the 19th century, the symbol has often been used on Valentine's Day cards, candy boxes, and similar popular culture artifacts as a symbol of romantic love. Well,
next Valentine's Day, I'm going to point out that, listen, none of this would have been possible without the Diet of Augsburg.
Yeah. That will definitely get you a few Valentines. Damn. I'm reading this Luther Rose. I mean, who is Lazarus Spengler? He was a prominent supporter of Martin Luther and leader of the Protestant Reformation in Nuremberg, as well as a famous hymn writer. Damn, dude, he was writing hymns. That's pretty interesting.
The famous hymn writer, Lazarus Spengler. Who was, wait, what was Ghostbusters?
Do what?
Ghostbusters. What's his name?
Like the...
Egon Spengler.
Harold Ramis. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a connection there.
A little callback.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be pretty dope to be a hymn writer. Like, in the studio, you're chopping it up in the studio. Like,
then you go in there and somebody breaks out, there is honey in the rock, my brother. And I'd just be like, can I be Frank Spengler? It ain't killing me. It ain't killing me. Oh, The old rugged cross again, I say.
The old rugged cross.
Yeah, come on, man. I need that heat, old baby.
Raggedy-ass cross.
Yeah, I need that heat.
Churches of Byzantine Rite Lutheranism, such as the Ukraine Lutheran Church, use the Luther Rose with an Orthodox cross in the center. And wow, it really does have the Ukrainian colors around it. That's what you need. That's what the libs need to be wearing. They need the Ukrainian Lutheran Church Byzantine Rite Luther Rose.
Yeah, like the real heads know. Mm-hmm. The real OG, not the Johnny come lately fucking Slava Ukraini guys.
Yeah.
That's the real heads are wearing the Lutheran Rose.
Mm-hmm. Heraldry. Earliest heart-shaped charges in heraldry appear in the 12th century. Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting. So, yeah, we've moved on to heraldry. Do you know what that is?
I have no idea what heraldry is.
That's like...
Hark the herald angels sing.
It's like your coat of arms. Well, I remember when I was a kid, my dad, like my white trash father being like, yeah, our family has a coat of arms. And like he drew some shit.
Oh, God.
I remember as a kid being like, did you just make this up right now?
And just like right on the spot, he's like, no, I seem to remember there's a bear in it. And it's like eating an elk or something. what was it like? What did it look like?
I don't know. It was like, maybe I'm confusing coat of arms with something. I'm pretty sure that is, it was like, I don't know. It had some like sort of like ornate thing. I don't know.
Something, like, was it frilly? And maybe there's like a battle axe on it or something?
Yeah, right. An elk head.
I want to take a look at what the Ray family coat of arms. I bet you could Google it.
Inverted heart symbols have been used in heraldry as stylized testicles. Oh, as boy. In the canting That's... arms of the... Okay.
A Ray family crest was the first thing that popped. My God, there's four reindeers.
Dude, I'm telling you, you don't want to fuck with us.
Dog. Look at this shit. Hold on a second.
Dude, you don't want to fuck with us.
There's like $4. Look.
Dude, I'm telling you, you don't want to... Like, we'll fucking stag your ass. Like put you up on those antlers and throw your ass around.
$4, and then there's like a sort of like a medieval knight's helmet on there too.
Yeah.
You could buy a print of it for $14.
Maybe I'll do that.
I'll see what mine looks like.
Dude,
that's the Sexton family crest.
The very ancient surname Ray was derived from the old English word ea. It was a locational name meaning the dweller by the stream. I'm the dweller by the motherfucking stream.
I've always thought that.
Yeah.
The Sexton family appears to have a horseshoe, what looks like a fountain pen head, and what also looks like maybe like a hoe that you would hoe a garden with, or maybe, yeah. No, really like a post hole digger.
Post hole digger. I'm not seeing a whole lot of reindeers on yours, my dude.
Nah, that's kind of disappointing, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Although I got to be honest, I was expecting something much worse, like a bunch of skulls or something. Which might seem pretty cool until you really get down to it and think, well, that's probably not good. Damn.
Yeah, you just pull yours up and it's like... It's a man stepping in a hole and breaking his foot or his ankle and getting impaled on a plow or something.
Yeah.
Isn't it good?
Fuck. Yeah, a man's head on a post, a skull, and then picture of a guy and like his dick's broken.
Uh-huh.
And to emphasize, it looks like, you know, like how they would like show pain, but it's just like three lightning bolts coming off something.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I'm the dweller by the motherfucking stream. I like this. The name Ray, between the 11th and 15th centuries, it became customary for surnames to be assumed in Europe, but were not commonplace in England or Scotland before the Norman conquest of 1066. They are to be found in the Domesday Book of 1086. The Domesday Book, dog.
Is that where your family stuff's located?
The Domesday Book, yes.
Wait, is that just like an antiquated Doomsday?
I think it might, but I also think it could be referring to getting dome. Like my family line has been either giving or getting dome for 1,000 years. It's hard to say.
Hard to say which way it's going.
Little Domesday. What the fuck? Baldwin the Sheriff? What is this? Dude, it is so fucking dumb. Anyways, going back to the Ray coat of arms, this looks kind of like what my dad tried to draw, but I guarantee you, let's see, he probably did that when I was like 10. Was the internet around by that point? I think it was. He probably just searched online, like, Ray coat of arms.
And he, like, just drew it from memory. He's like, look, son, there's four fucking deer on here, dog.
Ray are also Irish names.
Yeah, what nationality is the name Sexton? Sexton is an Irish last name taken from the Gaelic O'Shaisnane, which is also anglicized Shasnan and is associated with County Clare. Eight Sextons have been mayors in Limerick City, the most notable of whom was Edward Sexton, 1535, who, despite resisting Anglo influence, was very much liked by King Henry VIII.
Wow. Okay, dude. Check this out. You're talking about coat of arms. The House of Colleoni was a Guelph allied noble family in medieval Bergamo. Their Ghibelline opponents were the Suardi family, of which the Colleoni themselves were a branch. This is their coat of arms. Arms of the House of Colleoni. It depicts three pair of human genitals.
God damn.
Three pairs of nuts. Look.
Three nut sacks. Why would you do that to your family? Listen, if you're listening to this out there in the comments, please go find your family crest and post what the iconography is of it.
Yeah.
And if you're a Colleoni, yeah, we don't need it. We already got it.
This was in the 1400s. Was that like ironic, or what were they trying to get across?
They were the funny guys, I bet.
You're like, we're gonna make a subversive statement about coat of arms and how stupid they are.
Yeah, about three ball sacks right there. Or maybe they're saying, "Well, I got huge fucking nuts."
Well, they do look like truck nuts. They do really kind of look like truck nuts.
Is this the earliest known usage of truck nuts?
Maybe. What the fuck? Later, listen, this is funny. Later members of the family modified the testicles on the coat of arms into upside down hearts. Like, okay, you're not fooling anybody, man.
Hey, it's a thin line between a heart and truck nuts, though.
It is true.
If you think about it, upside down heart is just nuts.
Yeah. It's funny. You're not fooling anybody. We were around. My great grandfather remembers your coat of arms. You're not fooling me. Those are balls.
Oh man.
Let's see. Botanical symbolism. All right. Well, we know about the botanical symbolism. Encoding. A common emoticon for the heart is the greater than sign, three number. Man, everything really is just symbols, huh? Everything really is just like a symbolic representation of something.
Well, everybody says that, you know, everybody that has these life-affirming DMT trips and whatever and all that stuff, they say, man, it's fucking numbers and shapes all the way down.
Yeah.
So, I well, don't know, did maybe you, there's something to that.
Did you see there was a story going around? See if I can find this. It's in my bookmarks. It was in Inner Mongolia. A flock of sheep in Inner Mongolia have been walking in a circle for over 10 days.
I did see this. I was going to see what you thought about that.
Well,
or rather, if you'd been getting your dowsing rod out again and done some sort of witchcraft.
Readers added context they thought people might want to know. The context was that a bacterial disease called Listeriosis, caused by the bacteria Listeria, has been known to cause circling in animals. The disease inflames one side of the brain, which is why circling and often paralysis of the affected side is often seen. So, this is interesting because it still doesn't quite explain to me why Is it because sheep follow? I guess that is the thing with sheep, right? Like they do follow other sheep. So if one
Right.
sheep starts walking in a circle, they're going to all start walking in a circle. But it is an interesting example of how this symbol, this shape, does become manifest through some sort of ecological interaction. You know what I'm saying? Some sort of like biological cause. So it's like every time you see one of those arguments from like the Platonists and the philosophers, it's like, okay, this is stupid as shit. But then you're like, well, I mean, maybe they were onto something. Like maybe there really are forms that become manifest just through, well, I don't know. I think what it is the natural world probably facilitates efficiency. And so there are some forms that are probably more efficient than others. Like the heart doesn't seem that efficient, right? Like it'll get you tripped up. You'll see it and you'll be bonking yourself over the head and your eyes will be coming out of your head. Not that.
That's efficient. It happens to every man when he falls in love.
Right, right. But the circle, it's got no shape. It's a circle.
No like end.
No curves or corners or anything.
It's eternal, bro.
Eternal.
Fucking eternal, bro.
Yeah. Talk about a few things in the news.
Yeah, so what's now we've got our modern philosophy corner out of the way.
Did you see the story about this sinkhole in Hinton, West Virginia that's swallowing up a police station?
I did. It's then you know what? Good.
Yeah. That's what I say. Good. You know, what I find to be hypocritical is that everybody fucking flipped out when people burned down a police station in Minnesota, but no one
is. The earth does it.
But when the earth does it, it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
What the fuck? I'm just pointing out a hypocrisy here. Yeah, a huge sinkhole has opened up right next to a West Virginia police department, disrupting traffic and requiring several schools to move their classes online. The sinkhole, located on West Virginia Route 20, right next to the police department, is a longstanding problem in Hinton, West Virginia. When it first opened up in June, it was just 6 feet wide and about 30 feet deep.
I like how that was just like a 30-foot fucking pit that's 6 feet wide. And like, it was just that. And they just like, no, we can just let that go.
Right. 30 foot deep. There's a cave around here that called the Bull Hole. We've mentioned multiple times on this show. That's 30 foot deep. And that's dangerous.
That's dangerous as a cock shotgun. Yeah. That's not like, that's not nothing. You know, that's not like, oh, Timmy's fallen in the well.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's like serious.
On Saturday, West Virginia Division of Highways will begin installing a 125-foot temporary bridge over the sinkhole. But the bridge is only a temporary solution. David Warb.
That seems like such a goofy kind of... Like, what do you do? Like, how do you treat sinkholes?
I don't know.
They're kind of low-key, probably the most terrifying natural thing.
It is. It's like... I mean, I feel like it has been a thing in folk legend for a long time, like the earth swallowing you up.
Yeah.
But there is something about that that is so... But I think it's because we all associate hell with being below our feet, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably... It's just kind of everybody's... You know, that's everybody in the West, I guess, is probably scared of some sort of conception of hell, and it kind of reminds us of that. Like, do you remember when they did the Corvette Museum?
Yeah.
Those sinkholes, sinkholes are fucking creepy and
Those,
scary.
I think those sinkholes are still there. I think they just built over it. And so like you can go to the Corvette Museum and just walk over the.
Right, yeah, they put like the see through, and you can like look down and see all the cars that fell down in the pit, I think.
Yeah.
How many people a year do Cinco's kill?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. How many people? I mean, because like it would be interesting. How many people a year do sinkholes? Fuck. How many people a year do sinkholes kill? Sinkholes around the world. Recent deaths, causes, and prevention. Apparently, they're caused by like.
Sinkhole deaths are extremely rare. In
Rare but
fact,
unheard of.
yeah, only four ever recorded, I guess.
Wow.
In the state of Florida, that is.
Wow. We had one here in Whitesburg last year, and they just put a whole fucking shitload of concrete over it. They're like, don't look at that.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's just a painful reminder of how broken this place is.
Don't look at that. Well, all right. Today we're recording this on November 20th. Do you know today is President Biden's 80th birthday?
Damn.
Yeah, dude.
80 years young, Joe is.
I was getting a kick out of this article last night in the New York Times. President Biden is turning 80. Experts say age is more than a number. The New York Times spoke to 10 experts in aging to paint a picture of what the next year's 6 years might look like for a person of the president's age. It's like, if you are a human being on Earth, you're an expert on aging. Like, what the fuck is an expert on aging? Like, a general theory of aging, just, you know, as I understand it, is that the more you do it, the greater chance you have of dying.
You're right. Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Like on the
So,
line graph, the more aging you do, the greater
the more
chances.
dying you do. As time goes on, yeah. Something you hear in sports, Father Time is undefeated. So Joe Biden's going to be 85, 85, 86 when he leaves office if he wins another term.
Yeah, dude. That's crazy.
That's. Oh boy.
What? Listen to this. President Biden has said it is a legitimate question to ask anyone over 70 years old whether or not they're fit to serve in the White House. To those who question his fitness, he has a stock answer. Watch me. On Sunday, Mr. Biden turns 80, a number he tries never to utter in public. I can't even say the age I'm going to be, Mr. Biden said in a recent interview. I can't even get it out of my mouth. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of things you
There's a
can't.
lot of things you can't get out of your mouth too, but yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, he'd be 86 at the end of his second term.
Oh man.
The
That's
article is so fucking stupid, though, because it's like what it is. It's they just talk to doctors basically who are like, well, I guess if he thinks daily and does some exercise, he should be fine. It's like, yeah, no fucking shit.
if he thinks daily.
If he thinks daily.
Oh, amazing.
Slippage of memory is something that is usual, but is not a real deficit, said Dr. Blaser, who led a committee of experts that examined cognitive aging. They forget, they remember, they have forgotten, and they eventually remember what they have forgotten. Okay, that's I what? Like, yeah, but like for the person with the nuclear codes, I don't know if that's.
I don't know if I want them misremembering things.
Just waking up
Oh.
in a dead from a dead sleep, like in a cold sweat, being like, did I forget to nuke Russia? Yeah, I think I did, and just hitting the
And just
button.
like unilaterally deciding to go do that,
Yeah.
oh man.
But
Did you see that you made the news this week?
I was in the
Somebody
fucking
tweeted
news.
it. Somebody tweeted it. Said Terrence Ray Lived in Whitesburg.
Lives in Whitesburg, yeah. I looked like shit. They put me up against the trophy case, man.
Oh, man, that's a... Yeah, can't be doing that. Also, it was great. It was like, that screenshot kind of made you look like you're on the back of a milk carton. Have you seen this, man?
I looked very bad. Very bad. It's like, once it gets to a certain temperature in Whitesburg, all my swag goes out the door. It's
until like, the spring.
Yeah. So I looked very poor.
What did they ask you?
Well, they were asking me. So the context was that it was at a public hearing for the proposed prison. And I just happened to have the great fortune of being the first person to speak who opposed the prison. Just luck of the draw. If I can... And you can hear the air being sucked out of the room. Like they, it's like five people get up there and they're like, we need this thing. This is going to be great for our community. And everybody's clapping and roaring. And then I had to get up there and be like, yeah, as you can probably guess, I don't support this.
And then they just instantly just hit and they slimed you like a double dare.
Yeah.
Get this man out of here. Yeah.
So as a result of being the first one to speak, WYMT news crew, you can't blame them. They weren't staying longer than 15 minutes. As soon as like I spoke, they were like, hey, can we talk to you real quick? And then they got the fuck out of there.
Everybody else kind of seems to want this. Can you give us a quote here?
I mean, it is truly phenomenal. It was that event was very incredibly dispiriting, but it is truly phenomenal when you consider the fact that we've just had this disastrous flood. Everything's been destroyed. People need housing. And instead, they're building a fucking prison. People need housing infrastructure. And they're building a prison.
Oh, well, they'll get it, but they just have to commit a crime to get there first. Yeah, it could be short-sighted about this, Terrence. This is housing. It is housing right. For...
It's shelter. Yeah. Shelter from the storm.
Wouldn't it be just as... Think about this just in concept. Wouldn't it just be just as easy to build a facility and, like, you know, give everybody inside a little more square footage and also take the barbed wire down and all that shit? Like, if you could build a prison, you could build, like, a huge, like, public housing facility that's nice, you know?
100%.
Yeah, it's like... Why does it have to be punitive? Why can't it be like something that's going to like house people and be a net good, you know?
The thing is, dude, is like you bring that up and they immediately lockstep just go straight into like, well, Hal Rogers said that this is the only way we're getting anything.
So well, I don't know if you guys have paid attention, but Hal Rogers is a little bit ahead of Biden, even in cognitive decline. So.
I mean, I just can't get over that injustice. I can't get over that basic fact. You had massive property damage and destruction and people losing their homes, displaced people everywhere you go, RV parks packed full of like FEMA trailers and shit. And they are instead choosing to build a prison.
I know what we need. We need a place to house all those people that looted all that worthless waterlogged shit during the flood.
Man,
it is a hell of a thing, man. The cop mindset that everybody seems to have these days is just, it's so pervasive everywhere you look too. It's like, I was at the Kentucky Georgia football game yesterday, and like, it's something that I noticed that was hilarious. Like during one of the timeouts, they brought people out there that were like, you know, obviously they had like a little girl that beat. Like cancer or some like rare disease or something like that. And that's worth applauding, obviously. But then they'll trot out like four dipshits from some air base in Florida that they hired to fly over the game. You know what I mean? And like US military stuff. And it's like all these baying chuds that piss and moan about government waste, fucking they're pumping their fists with tears in their eyes at four dipshits that flew like military planes over the football game. You know what I mean? Like
It's a matter of time before one of those planes, like, do you remember, this was in and out of the news, but like a few weeks ago, there was like an air show in Texas, I think,
Oh yeah.
Where like a
one in
beef
Las
is.
Vegas several years ago when that same
Yeah.
thing happened.
I mean, oh man. I saw one tweet where someone said, at least he died doing what he loved. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure that's what was going through his mind as the back half of his plane was sheared off in that 6 seconds he had before he hit the ground. Like, at least I'm doing what I love.
You know what? This is how I would have wanted it. Yeah. You know, yeah, of course. But it's weird, man. It's just, I don't know. Like, this just overwhelming reverence for the military and police is just, I don't know.
It's killing us. Literally, it's killing us. It's like,
it's killing us.
This is the best example. It's like no housing or long term investment in people.
Yeah.
Instead, I mean, and I, you know, I don't, it's
but
not
the
inevitable.
People that are in the positions to bring people, sir, other people to justice, that's where we need to put our money at.
Right.
Yeah, it's fucking.
Yeah. I mean, it's not inevitable. The thing is still a proposal. They still have to do the environmental impact survey, but it's just shocking. It's just a slap in the face. It's absolutely shocking. And but I got on the news.
Hey, but
in the end I got on the news.
Yeah, anytime. Listen, you can always take the pulse of the community when Terrence Ray ends up on the news. How many times? What is this? About your fourth appearance?
I think this is my fourth appearance.
I remember maybe during the Muslim anti-Muslim gun store. I think you were on the news then.
Uh-huh.
What else was there?
Also, there was a mine blowout that killed a bunch of turtles. Me and you buried a turtle.
Right.
Remember when we buried
yeah.
a turtle?
Yeah.
And then there was, oh, the worst one. I got suckered into this one. The worst one was the day after that guy shot a bunch of police officers in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
What it was, the story was, someone in Whitesburg put a Black Lives Matter sign in their window. Coincidentally, the same night that this dude shot a bunch of police officers in Dallas. And the next day, the news said they wanted to do a story on the Black Lives Matter sign. But they asked me about that shooting. Like, like they
Mr.
wanted
Ray.
Me to answer for it.
Oh, it would be hilarious if they would have said, well, Mr. Ray, clearly you supported the officer shooting in Dallas last night.
Oh man. I think
you're like, I wasn't there, I was here.
That was my last time on the news prior to Thursday night.
So how would you rate your performances all time?
Well,
I saw a lot of thought. You go, well, you know.
obviously they're getting worse because I was much more handsome back in the day. You know, it's like as time goes on, my looks deteriorate. And so
it's like this man's taken everything this man's been interviewed for failed over the years. Look at it.
Look at the toll it's taken on him. He looks like shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
This man's fallen off since he was implicated in that officer shooting in Dallas. I wasn't in Dallas.
They put me up against the trophy case, like Laura Palmer or some shit. Like my, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, dude, dog, come on.
Oh, man.
They had to, though. There's no. And if they're, I told them about the podcast. Like,
No, you know what they would have done? They would have put you in, like, such a good, like, nice, like, amber lighting or whatever that really makes you look good and live. But they're like, if he supports the prison, we'll put him in that. If he's against it, let's put him by the trophy case.
Yeah, let's
yeah.
Make him look as deranged as possible. It's not hard to do. A guy out front just now, right before we started, I was smoking a cigarette before we recorded, and I was trying to get out of the wind, and there's those steps next to the office, and so I was just kind of like huddled down there, and this guy and his wife walked by. And they were like, oh, didn't see you there. Like, they were like, do you have a home? Like, yeah.
Here's a couple of shekels for some bread, son. Do something with yourself.
I got some shekels at least. Alms. I got some alms.
And Terrence Ray begging alms out in front of the Trillbillies office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's all I had. There's the Qatari World Cup. The FIFA guy said, "I feel gay." And that's a powerful statement, I think, for our
country. Particularly in Qatar.
Yeah. I feel gay.
I feel gay. I feel like a drunk. Well, buddy, you got the wrong gig right now. I hate to break it to you.
You know, are you watching it?
World Cup? Watching the World Cup? Yeah.
I love the World Cup too. Hell, I love it too.
Yeah, I just got FIFA 23 last night. I've been playing the hell out of it.
Dude, you do not want.
You want a taste, come get you a taste, pal.
You could not fucking beat. I could beat your ass.
Couldn't beat my meat in FIFA.
I could beat your ass with one hand tied behind me. I am the reigning FIFA champ.
Let me tell you something, son. I used to play a game called Winning 11-7. The real heads will remember that game. Okay. I've cut my teeth in soccer games for some time now, and I welcome your challenge.
We'll see. Like, I'm telling you, man, I'll beat your ass with Ukraine. You can be fucking whoever is the best.
That's what we should do. We'll just play out all global conflicts on FIFA.
Well, they don't
I'll be
you.
Russia. You be
they took Russia off.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I forgot. Yeah,
they don't want you to reenact the great global conflicts. They took Russia off.
Okay, so what we have to do is just go back and like relitigate Iraq versus the United States and set the record straight.
They should do it like Battlefield. Like they should do historical World Cups from like the 30s, you know. Yeah. You can see Hitler in the sidelines, like up in the stands.
That would be so tight. Like just Jesse Owens like running right in front of Hitler and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what would be crazy? That would be what we should do is this. Here's how global conflict should be handled going forward. No like fucking cyber attacks, none of that stupid bullshit. Here's what we do. We take it to the athletics field, right? And here's what we do. We don't play just one sport, we play multiple sports, right? Yeah. So like if we're going to decide it on a basketball court, the U.S. is going to have an advantage. If we're going to decide it on a soccer pitch, then, you know, like most of the world would have a significant advantage. Most of the known world would have a significant advantage over us. So what we have to do is play multiple sports in best of style.
Yeah. This and is a wonderful concept.
The chips fall where they may.
Yeah. If only there was a sporting event that occurred every 4 years.
That's a proxy for
that's a
for
proxy
such a thing
for national greatness.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, we need to get to work on that. Yeah, well, that involves also multiple sporting events.
Well, but you gotta up the ante. Like losers can be executed on site. You know that. I mean, you gotta combine sports and war. So,
well, that'd be so tight if, like, you know, you do the Winter Olympics and. The Norwegians, you can't fuck with them in that shit, right?
Right.
You know that one event where you ski and shoot the rifle?
Yes.
It's like they do that and they finish and then the losers like kind of hang their heads and walk up to the podium and then you just get domed in the head by two Swiss people on skis. And
yeah, you're in the domesday book. Then you're in the domesday book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Deadly Olympics. Stick a pin in that. We need to flesh that a little bit more one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so tired today. I've stayed out all night last night at a place called Silver Cube Billiards in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah?
Shooting pool all night.
Were you running pool tables last night?
Bunch of roughnecks. Yeah, I did. I'm back, man. I'm playing the best pool of my life right now.
Are you Paul Newman in The Hustler?
Oh, well, I wasn't quite that good, but... Damn. We played a little best of nine series and got a little victory, but... That's one of my new haunts.
You should start showing up with your coat of arms.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm not far from being one of those guys that shows up with a case over his arm and then he gets his own pool cue out and screws it together. I'm close to that.
Dude, do that.
Everybody respects that guy.
Your coat of arms is you getting impaled in a field with lightning bolts and a pair of massive testicles hanging for the wheel.
This is the essence of this man's family.
Your massive testicles get snagged in a briar.
You're right.
It's you trying to get away, but your testicles are trapped.
Oh shit.
All right, dude. Well, fucking name a time and a place. I'll bring my coat of arms with my
reindeer
and beat your ass.
Anytime, I got it.
I'm gonna beat your ass.
Pull up. Yeah, this motherfucker's gonna use Brazil on my ass or something.
No.
The Brazil all time team.
No, I'm gonna pick the worst fucking team. Maybe I'll pick a mediocre team. All right.
Yeah, we have to do something like the Turkish B League or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you got for today?
I don't.
All right. Well, I gotta go and get on with my day. So.
I gotta get back to the lab, make these beats. These beats ain't gonna cook themselves.
They're not gonna cook themselves. That's right. All right. Well, we'll see you later. Thanks for listening this week, everybody. See you next time.
Bye bye.
Legendary hearts tearing up.